Mike for that, okay.
We're gonna call Sally and call Sally on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Where did we leave off?
In the RFPA,
the first paragraph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We left off in a question, do you want us to think about?
So what was the question?
All right, yeah.
I said, is there anyone who thinks that Mekadesh Bemove is Nechima?
And she said the Tosfot, right?
Oh, yeah, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Did anybody look that up to see?
I said, well, was the question, because I don't remember, they didn't understand what we're trying to say.
Well.
Does anyone think that being Mechiyas Melva is Kedushin?
You're not saying it well, that when the Gemara said Mekadesh Bemove is Zeinu Mekadeshes, what does that mean? What did he say to her? Did he say to her, be Mekadeshes to me with the forgiveness of the loan? Did he say to her, what did he say to her exactly? Or is he forgiving the loan? In Mekadesh Bemove, is he saying to her that I want to be Mekadesh with the forgiveness of the loan? Anybody? Want to close? Is it warm in here?
Yes.
Let's open some windows, maybe. Yeah. Because the Ritva in the beginning, how did the Ritva explain Mekadesh Bemove?
With the coin, with the money itself.
With the money itself, and then he says Vla Afuke, and that's to exclude Hecha Shemocha Lo Hamelve, Vamar La Hare Mekadesh Asli Bahanar Shemochal Tilach Melve Zu. Shehi Mekadeshes, Kevin Shanar Zu Shava Pruta. He's saying that. If he's Mekadesher with what? I'm just backing up from the beginning. If he's Mekadesher with the money itself of the loan, so that's Eina Mekadeshes, because he's not giving her anything, because that money's already hers, because Milva Lahotzar Milva. So that money is already hers. So that's Eina Mekadeshes, but that's excluding the case where what would be if he was Mochel the loan, or part of it, and he said to her, be Mekadeshes to me with the Hana, that I'm being Melchel all or part of the loan. So it sounds like the way he is, so in the case of Mekadesh Bemove, that's Eina Mekadeshes, it sounds like that he's learning it that he was not Melchel the loan. Don't you, isn't that the impression that you get? Because he seems to be distinguishing between the case of being Mekadesh Bemove and then being Mochel the loan, and then being Mekadesh with the Hana and the Mechila. So I'm just saying, I'm just going back to the basic thing, that when we say Mekadesh Bemove, are we assuming that the guy is saying to this, that the guy wants to be Mochel the loan? And that's what he's saying to her. I want to be Mekadesh you with the loan, meaning that you don't have to pay it back. I'm Mochel the loan and be Mekadeshes to me with the Mechila of the loan. Is that what this means?
Do you mean for everyone but the Ritva, or for the Ritva only?
Well, the Ritva, that's what, I was thinking of the Tosfos Rid. If you go back to the Tosfos Rid,
Wait, I'm sorry, can you repeat your question?
I just want to know that you notice that he is, how is he describing Mekadesh B'milveh? If you look at his words again.
He says to her, like, be Mekadesh to me through the fact that you owe me a loan.
Well, I don't know what that would be through.
That you
fact.
Owe me, that you owe
what
me.
What is he Mekadesh her with?
The money.
What money? Yeah.
Can't we say that he's, this may be misunderstanding the Ritva, but I was understanding it as he's Mochel the loan, but he doesn't specify that he's being mekadesh her with the hana of the mechilat milveh, and so then it seems as though he's using the money of the loan as kesef kiddushin.
Okay, it's just that I don't see that Ritva is, because look at what does he mean with ikar haperush. Hamakadesh begufa shel milveh. What does that mean? Hamakadesh begufa shel milveh.
With the actual money of the loan.
That money that you owe me, that money of the loan, that's what I want to be Makadesh you with. Does that sound like he's saying I'm mochel the loan?
So then she'd still be required to pay him back. This is your question.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Well, she's.
No, she'd be required if she didn't marry him.
Yeah, I mean, she. Yeah. Well, the truth is, if he was, even if he said, "Yeah, I'm mochel the loan,"
she would still have to pay that.
She would still, because if she says it doesn't work for kedushin, so then nothing happened, then she still owes him the money. But the point is, what was he trying when he said to her, "Being a kodesh is to me with the gufa shel milveh," that doesn't sound like he's.
It's like he's not actually trying to make the money kesef kedushin.
He's just trying to redirect the money and make it into kesef kedushin and turn it out and. And initially, he gave her the money as just a plain loan, nothing to do with marriage. And now he wants to say that money should be kesef kedushin, so that you can't do because that money is already hers. He has no control over that money to redirect it. Mm-hmm. As opposed to being mochel the loan, he says, where if you're mochel the loan, and he's mekadesher with the hana, then she would be mekudeshes. Now, if you look back at the Tosfos Rid, if everybody turn, look at your Tosfos Rid. After he quoted Rashi at the beginning, and then he said he didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what he said. The Eino Nirali Pesaza. Do you all see it?
In the beginning or when?
The beginning.
Yeah.
He quotes Rashi 5-6 lines in, and then he says, "Ve'enu nirali pesezeh, zahamakadish b'milveh nami hachihu d'mocha lo ha'halva." But in makadish b'milveh, he's also being mocha alone, b'afil hachi en mekudeshes, and it's still en mekudeshes. That's what goes on to say, "Va'amai v'ha isbo pruta, b'habiz yava l'fiyusei." There is a pruta that she would have given to appease him. So she's benefiting from that pruta. So every Mekadesh B'milveh says the Rid that there's a mechila. And if there is a mechila, and there's always going to be a hana, so that's why the Tosfos Rid asks on Rashi that every Mekadesh B'milveh should be mekudeshes. Which we know it's not, right? Now the reason why I'm pushing this point is, did you all do the Tosfos and Ksuvos?
Not yet. Yeah.
Oh, you didn't do it yet? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm having a really hard time with the Ritva. Not his language, but his
language. Okay. So, once we do the Tosfos and Ksuvos, I mean, this distinction that we're making will be much clearer, or you'll see that. So I'm just making this. Now, what's the upshot of this distinction? Because he's saying that, what is he claiming if there is, if he's mochel the debt? If he's mochel the debt and he's mekadesh with the hana, then she would be mekudeshes. Isn't that what he's saying? Mm-hmm. Does he have to specify that he's Makadish with the Hanah? If he's Malchol Vadeh?
I don't think so.
Well, look at his words, yeah.
We thought so, because he says Hanah.
So it sounds like he does have to say the Hana. And what if he didn't? What if he didn't? Sounds like it would not work.
Because he says,
Kivan
de Adate Azuze Habele Makadish Bedavar Shem.
Then he says, "Hanah b'chol makom chashuva k'kesef." Hanah is always viewed as ketzer. So remember, this is, goes back to the issue that we discussed earlier about what is the status of a hanah. So he clearly believes it's shuva kesef. Ukida Amrinan Gabe Are. Did we discuss? No, we didn't do this, did we?
No.
Okay. What does this mean? Ukida Amrinan Gabe Are. Umishtabe Bahana.
Well, this was like that Gemara Zayin, isn't it?
I don't know what it is.
Like we said with regarding the Deen of Arev, that if it works for a case of Arev to use Hana'a.
What Hana'a?
The Hana'a of a loan.
I'm not following.
Like that, in an Arev case, that just like Kedushin, you can use the Hana'a, you can use Hana'as.
What Hana'a are you talking about in the Arev case? Is he talking about a Kedushin case?
No.
So what is he talking about?
He's talking about a case where someone is purchasing, let's say, a field.
He's what?
So off that he's using a guarantor to buy a field.
He's using a guarantor to buy
a
field.
Or a metaltolator, anything.
What do you mean a guarantor to buy a field? What do you need a guarantor for?
Like if I said to Ziona, here's money.
For what reason? Money. Why are you giving him money?
So that to give it to you.
You're giving her money that she should give it to me. Why don't you just give it to me?
I don't know where you are. You're far away.
Okay. Now what?
And so
you gave her money to give to me.
And then once
what reason? As a gift?
No, because I want your field.
So you're buying my field?
Yeah.
So you give her the money to give to me to buy the field?
Yeah.
That's you. Yes.
No, I'm going to stop now.
What's the Arev case? Yes.
So, we had a citation here for Baba Batra.
Yes,
right.
So do I.
Okay, so we thought that what was going on there is that, I mean, it was just a normal case.
Could you
review
for us what a normal case of Arev is?
Okay, so I come to you and I want to borrow $100.
Okay.
But you know that I don't have any assets. So you're worried that I'm not going to be able to pay it back.
Wow.
So you say, no, I don't want to loan you $100.
Right.
So then I come to Racheli and I say, Racheli, will you be my guarantor so that now Rabbi Kahn will loan me $100 so that if I can't pay it back, Racheli will pay it back for me.
And what does she say?
So the issue in the Gemara was about how is Racheli like appointed basically as the Arev, I thought.
Say again?
Like, how is she like appointed as the Arev? So like, is there a kinyan that has to take place to make it so that she will pay you the money if I can't do it? So the Gemara thought that maybe that was the asmachta. There was a kinyan that had to take place. But then the Gemara says, no, it's ma'asim b'chol yom, that people don't do this asmachta kinyan, and yet the Arev will still pay the malveh. So how is it exactly that we establish Racheli as the Arev? It's via the hana'a that I get from her agreeing to pay the money.
The hana'a that who gets?
Oh, that you... Well,
I'm the lender.
Right.
You're the borrower, and Racheli's the Arev.
I thought... I guess this is wrong, but I thought that it was the hana'ah that I get, knowing that me, the loveh, the hana'ah that I get, knowing that now you're going to give me the money.
How does that how does that affect Rachel?
Because she's basically giving me hana'ah.
She's giving you? No.
Isn't the Arif supposed to be getting some form of hana'ah?
Yeah.
We didn't okay. finish, and we started
and
inside,
Basra,
but we didn't
do
get...
Do you have the citation from Baba Basra?
I don't think so, because we didn't...
Well, either you do or you don't look at it. You have it
we
you
have
know.
It, but we didn't get all the way through the Gemara.
Okay, the Gemara there wants
we
to...
We don't have it.
Okay, the thing about Arev is... Let, remember, people... How does... Forget about this, just in general... How do, as if I come over to you and I say, you know what, I want to give you $1,000. I plan on giving you $1,000. And you say, great. And then the next day you come to you say, where's $1,000? Does that change my mind? Could I change my mind?
Yeah.
As long as you didn't sign it.
Or didn't
because
swear.
I just said I would. There was no legal obligation that I entered into that would force me now to have to keep the agreement. I said I would give you $1,000. I said that yesterday. Now I'm thinking differently. Now I don't want to give you $1,000. Nothing obligates me.
As long as you didn't sign on the dotted
well,
line.
Well, with the signing would do it. In other words, something has to legally obligate me, I'll be halacha, that I have to give you that money. So,
who are you, the
barber or the garrison? I'm neither. I just walked over to someone and I said, I'm going to give you $1,000. And you said, fine. And then tomorrow I said, I changed my mind.
It's not nice, though.
So, that's not nice. Okay.
He never
said nice,
he was
but
nice.
I'm still not obligated to give you the money. You can't take me to court, and the courts will not force me to give you the money because I'm allowed to change my mind. So, therefore, the question then comes up. So, how do people legally, how do they... How are they people legally obligated, let's say, to pay something? What legally obligates people to pay? So, for example, if I stole from you, I'm mechuyev to pay you back, right? If I borrowed money from you, the taking of your money as a loan, when I took your money, I am now obligated to pay it back. Okay? You can even write up a shtar chov. What if we wrote up an IOU? I wrote up on a piece of paper that I owe you $1,000. And had it signed and I handed you the piece of paper. Would I now be obligated to pay you that $1,000? Yes.
Even if it's not with me, either?
He had it signed.
I had it signed.
Oh, not just by you and like the person you're giving money to, but... Okay, sorry.
It wouldn't matter if I wrote it by hand and it was my handwriting, it would also count. But that's not my point. So you need something that creates the obligation. A shtar can create the obligation. Or if you gave me money as a loan, that obligates me to pay you back. If I stole from you, the Torah says I have to pay you back. So these are all obligations, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's now talk about an arev. Think about what's happening. Let's say the case that McKenna gave. She came to me for a loan, and I don't think I don't trust her to pay me back. So I don't want to lend her the money. Racheli comes to me and says to me, look, lend her the money, and I'll guarantee payment. Now basically, what she signed a piece of, she wrote up a shtar. There was some formal kinyan. She is obligating herself to me to pay me if McKenna can't pay back the loan. She's not obligating herself to McKenna, it's to me. She's saying to me, I will pay you if McKenna can't pay back the loan. Isn't that true? But what is obligating her to me? Because she said so? So what if she came back the next day and said, you know what, I said so, but I changed my mind. Can she change her mind? But the din is she cannot change her mind. Well, why not? She just said, what did she say? Why is it any different than if she said, I'll give you $1,000? She can come back the next day and change her mind and say, I don't want to give it to you. So why can't she say to me, yeah, I said yesterday that I would guarantee McKenna's loan, but I thought it over since then, and I already loaned her the money, and I said, I don't want to do it anymore. So am I legally allowed to take Micheli to court? Let's see, if McKenna can't pay back the loan, do I have a case against Micheli? Yes, I do. The question is why? She just said, today she said she would guarantee. Tomorrow she said she doesn't want to. What obligates her legally? Understand the question?
Yeah.
And that's what the Gemara in Bava Basra was trying to explain. And what the Gemara said there was, it's hana'a. But the hana'a, now can anybody try again? The hana'a, which two people are involved in this hana'a? It's Racheli.
No,
it's Racheli and me.
Yeah. Why?
Well, we'll figure out what that. Yes, Victoria.
I think it's because you, the lender, are guaranteed that you are going to get your money back. That's a hana that you're giving. No,
but me, I'm getting. I'm the lender.
Yes.
No.
No. No.
It's I have to be getting the hana. I just don't know how that happens.
Racheli needs to get the hana.
How could she be getting any hana when she?
Because she gets the hana of McKenna being able to get the loan. So she's like
better.
Happy that McKenna has her
it's
loan.
It's not
now.
Just the happiness that McKenna's getting.
Is it because
the loan?
If she ends up paying it, then I'll have to then I'll reimburse her.
What? No.
I'll say that wouldn't seem very.
Is she not happy?
Don't tell us.
She could be thrilled to death, but that's not the point.
But that is hana. Is that?
I know, but
hana?
That's not going to be enough to be.
It's not the hana that's working here. The
is it the
hana
that she's doing a mitzvah for her friend?
No.
What?
She's not just happy. She's doing a mitzvah for her
okay.
friend.
Okay. Okay. I'll give you a hint. Okay. McKenna had come to me, asked for loans, so I'm not lending you the money because I don't know if I can trust you.
Now I don't have
so
to lend her the money.
So then Bailey comes forward and says, I guarantee the loan. So I can say to her, well, who says I trust you any better?
She gets hana'a from the fact that you trust her?
Yeah.
That's stronger than...
That's crazy.
That's
okay.
Stronger than...
I am willing to lend... Let's talk about big bucks, you know? $100,000 loan. I'm not lending it to McKenna. She's just a student in GPS. She has no money. So I'm not lending it to her.
Quote of the day. Truer words have never been spoken.
Inherited millions of dollars from some long-lost uncle, you know?
Don't open those emails. Don't.
Okay? So she's loaded with money. So the point is, to McKenna, I'm not going to lend it. But if Racheli comes forward and says that she'll pay it, I trust her. And I feel that she has the assets to back it up. And therefore, it's the hana that Racheli is now getting from me, that I trust her that she will pay back the debt if McKenna cannot. It's with that hana that she is getting, that she is now obligating herself to me. And that hana is worth, is kesef. So it's as if the Orev is receiving a Shavu Kesef, and through the receipt of the Shavu Kesef, she is obligating herself to me to pay back the loan.
Sounds like an Adam Chashuk, but tiny bit.
Yes,
but it sounds
of,
like is it, it's you are basically giving Racheli a compliment, and she's stoked that you gave her a compliment, and that's the Hanah.
It's more than a compliment. I trust her. You know, it's in business. You know, trust is a big thing. When she steps forward and says, I will guarantee it, and I'm relying on her. Listen, she can have a lot of money, but she can be a dishonest person and not pay it. I trust her. You know, being trusted in business can go a long way. This could open up the door for other business ventures. You have to think more strategically. So this is an important thing, that if somebody comes forward and says, you can trust me, and everybody will just follow, then other people will do it, and that could help her career. I mean, you have to try to think of it in the financial terms.
And investment banking world with all that money I have for my long lost uncle.
And you could be trusted. You're not going to, you know, chip your investors, you know.
No star would do the trick.
It would, but there was no star. You don't need it. If McKenna can't pay it back, right.
And aside from that, well, when you trust her, you have to tell her, I trust you, right? Understood much better.
Well, obviously, I'm not going to lend the money to McKenna if I didn't trust Rachele. Well, why would I lend the money if I didn't trust Rachele?
Okay, now I'm just wondering, because it's a Kenyan, it has to be spelled out.
Well, this, well, the very fact that I'm lending the money because of Rachele's say, then it's the hanot that she's getting that I trust her to pay back the debt. And this gives her, in the community, a very big standing, that she is someone to be trusted. And therefore, with that hanot, she is obligating herself. So remember, one of the ways to obligate yourself in a loan, what happens in a loan? What obligates a borrower to pay back the debt because he received money from the lender, correct?
Yeah.
Well, in the Arif case, the Arif is also getting Shavu Kesef. You understand? The Shavu Kesef is the Hana. And by receiving the Shavu Kesef, which is the Hana, she is now obligating herself to me to pay me back if McKenna cannot. Yeah.
So if McKenna does pay back, though, you just basically gave a gift of Hana'ah. That's it.
Well, then
okay.
She's only obligating herself to pay me back if McKenna cannot. She's not obligated to pay me back whether McKenna can or cannot.
Okay. I was just wondering what happens with that Hana'ah if it's
nothing.
Necessarily failed.
It's nothing.
Okay.
Okay. So that's his proof from the Arif case that Hana is a Shavu Kesef. So it's as if the Arif is receiving Kesef. See, McKenna, what you were saying, the Hana is the Kesef. Now, who has to get the... It's receiving the Kesef that then obligates you to pay it back.
Right.
Understand?
Yeah.
It simulates, like, between a Lov and a Malva.
Mm-hmm.
Then he mentions, if you go back to the Ritva, Skot Lefanai, Rakod Lefanai, that there the Hana too is, the Hana of Skot Lefanai, Rakod Lefanai. So Hana certainly works, but again, if you look, Elahacha shekitsha beguf hamilva, ena mekudeshes she'ein da'ata ela lakadesh beguf hamilva v'lo b'hana. As you see here, he says v'lo b'hana hamagia lo achshav shenifteres mimenu. See, what does that say? Isn't that? What does that mean? Are you all with me? No, tell me what that means. What? Yes, Victoria.
He's the funny again of the Kadesh and Robe cases. That he is trying to be the Kadesh with the money itself. Does Mehila, is it part of it king?
But look what he's not with the Hana. What is the Veloba Hana Hamagia Lo Akshov Shenefteris Mimenu? What does that mean? Veloba I don't see him saying that. No, his das is to el mekadesh beguf hamilva, and not with the hanah that she's getting, that she's now putter from him. What does he mean by that?
From the debt.
That he's mekadesh with the guf hamilva, but not the hanah that she'll be putter from the debt. What I see in that is so. Would she be putter from the debt if he could have been Makadish Bemilva?
Yeah,
Yes, but that's not what he's thinking about.
But he's not trying to be Makadisha with the Hana of the, you know, of the cancellation of the debt. He's being Makadisha with the money of the debt itself. And that's not Makudeshes. The Kevin Dadate Azuze Havele Makadish Bedover Sheno Shalom. Right, what is he trying to be Makadish or with?
Something
else. With the money of the loan itself, which is not his, because Lobolo Tsar did not.
Question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. That's exactly what I'm saying. This here, it sounds like he's saying that a mechila is going on, but he's not trying to be makadesh with the hana. He's trying to be makadesh with the money itself.
So are we supposed to understand his first sentences now?
Yeah, well, maybe. So maybe what Racheli said before is that it's really a difference between just being mochel the debt and trying to be makadesh with the debt, the money of the debt, versus the hana of the cancellation. You know what I'm saying?
Like a da'a.
Then if you have to specify, if you want to be makadish with the hana of the mechila, then she would be makudeshes, because that's worth a pruta.
That gets sort of like Rashi.
Yeah, it would be exactly like Rashi. Then he goes on to say that even if the money of the loan was not spent yet, because the money is still tied up in a bundle. What? You read it all wrong?
No. The language, it just really fascinated me. That because I originally read Niftaret Mimenu, that the money had like gone away in some way, and then we came to the next section, it was like Turin and Munachin, and I was like, there was all this funereal imagery in a word. It was just so interesting. I really found
that's what this kiddushin is. If he can't marry her with actual kasef, like that,
they're done for.
Okay.
He uses a lot of language that we haven't seen yet before. Also,
I don't know.
In terms of this discussion of one
kaddish, saying that the kasef is be'en is something we've seen before, but saying that it's tzurah munachat be'adam
But even though it's still tied up, it's so poetic. You're describing how the money is still tied up, and she didn't even touch it yet. You know, it's still in its bag. You know, figure that because they deal with coins,
the little Ziploc.
Yeah, so in the bag that they're in. Right.
No, but it sounds like it's coming from the woman. Like this sounds like the Nazis, and she's coming, and she's coming with the money.
Yeah. Oh, is that talk? He gave her money. She hasn't spent it yet. She's not coming to pay it back. She hasn't even spent it in the first place.
He gives man pira on.
Where are you? Where?
He gives
man pira. Comma. That's one thing. There are two afilos he has. Afilo he gives man pira. And afilo mo samil vatsman is two different things. Even though the time has come to pay back, so you would think that she's ready to pay it back, the Malva has nothing. And even if the money wasn't spent yet, it's a different case. And even if the money wasn't spent yet, and she still has it, you know, he's not talking about that she's coming with the money to pay it back. He's talking about that the money was never spent yet. The money itself is still be'en. You understand? So either way, it doesn't matter that if he's trying to be Makadish with that money, she's not Makudesha. So it sounds like, let's just review again. So what it sounds like he's saying is that when a man tries to be Makadish with the loan itself, and even if we'll say he's agreeing to forgive the loan, but he wants to be Makadish with the loan itself, and that should be the Kedushin, it does not work because the money of that loan is already hers. It's not his anymore. She just has an obligation to pay it back. So the money of the loan is hers, so he's not giving her anything. However, if he says to her, what, be mekudesh to me with the hana that you're getting from the mechila below, and that hana is worth what? It's worth a pruta. So it's as if right now she's getting this pleasure, which is worth at least a pruta, that he's being mochel the debt. So that's something that she's getting right now. She's getting something new. She's getting this hana, which is worth a pruta. Is that right? So if he's trying to be mekadesh with the loan itself, he's not giving her anything, but if he's trying to be mekadesh with the hana of the mechila, that's something new that he's giving her right now, and that hana is shavah kesef, as you prove from the Arif case, that it's shavah kesef, and then she would be mekadesh. So then, to me, it sounds like Rashi. Very same as the way we understood Rashi. Then in the next piece, which was to me very important, he talks about ribbis. Now, so he starts off to say that he talks about the Arba B'Chamisha case. That's what he's focusing on the Arba B'Chamisha case. Somebody tell me what he says.
He wants to know why we use a case of, sorry, on the Arba B'Chamisha case, or I'm generally saying about the Arba service.
I don't know. Tell me what he said.
Okay.
It's up to you to tell me.
Okay. So he says that the Arba B'Chamisha, they said that that's not the case because that's actual ribis. And then they instead bring a case of Arbakla Zimna, and they say that that one is a case of it would work for Kedushin, but it's Asur because it's Aramas Ribis. And then he says, okay, I feel like I'm... He doesn't understand why they would use a case of saying that it doesn't work because of Aramas Ribis, when we know that even if the person used real Ribis, that it would be a valid kedushin, and so therefore he doesn't get why they would bring up a case.
I'm not following. Say again. What is he talking about?
Okay, he wants to know that.
What does he want to know?
The Gemara used the case of Aramas Ribis to say that that's the case of Hanas Milva, but that doesn't work. Aramas Ribis, even though it works.
I know it's it works, but you're
right,
not allowed
to
do it.
Right, but you can't do it. But then you're saying, but why would they talk about Aramas Ribis when actual Ribis works?
Which case? Where's actual Ribis working?
In a case where someone used the Arba B'Chamisha.
So which case are you talking about now? Arba B'Chamisha or Arba Chosim? I'm not following you.
I mean...
Give me the case that you're discussing.
Okay, sorry. In a case of Arba B'Chamisha.
Okay, that's the case. What about it?
It would be a valid kedushin, even if the man used the fifth suz to marry the woman.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, he doesn't understand why the Gemara.
He's asking a kasha on the Gemara.
I thought so. I thought he was saying. I thought he was confused why the Gemara would be talking about Aramas Ribis when they can use a case of actual Ribis.
Is he asking a question on the Gemara? Just because I don't follow what you're saying, yes or no?
I'm guessing the answer is no, but I thought yes.
But you thought yes. Yeah. Okay, no, that's not right. He's not asking any questions on the Gemara. So what is he doing?
Isn't he just explaining more about Ribis and what...
What is he explaining exactly?
What level of obligation...
Yes.
Let's say you had a case where I came to you, you loaned me $5, and then at the beginning you set interest. You were like, okay, I'm going to loan you $5, but I want you to give me back $5. Okay, actually, let's not say it's you and me. Let's say it's someone else. So, okay, me and some guy. Okay, and I go, and that same thing happens.
There was an interest charge?
Yeah, there was an interest charge at the beginning. And then I paid it back. I paid the interest charge.
Okay.
So now I've given back that fifth dollar, let's say. And then this guy uses that fifth dollar and gives it to me as Kesef Kiddushin. He says that works.
Why is he... So what is he trying to do here, the Ritva? You're missing something. Okay, let me ask you this. You see where he says, he quotes the Gemara, right? Perish the Kitchup, Bezuz, Chachamishi, Shal Ribishi, Chayabas. You see right here?
Yeah.
Ribis, Mal Yosavu, Perish. What does the word Perish mean?
He's explaining.
This is how the Gemara is explained.
Okay, he's about to. So what is he explaining? He's not asking Kashas.
He's explaining what Arba B'Chamisha is.
No, I want to be more specific. What is he explaining?
Why is it Ribis Mal Yosavu? Yeah.
Why it is?
No.
How it is.
How it, and he answers that, how it's Ribis Mal Yosavu?
No. That's why I think, it's not a question on the Gemara.
You thought that he was asking Natasha on the Gemara. He's not asking any question here. What does Perish, what is he doing?
I thought he was explaining the Gemara's objection to that suggestion of our Baba Chamisha.
Okay. What was the objection?
The objection was, that case of our Baba Chamisha shouldn't be called Haramat Ribi, it should be called Ribit Ma'aliyata.
That's right. Okay. So what's he telling me?
So he says...
So he says, Perush, the explanation... Look what he just said before, Ribis Ma'aliyata, when the Gemara said that was an objection, that was the first objection the Gemara gave as to why Anoas Nova cannot mean Arba
Chamisha. Okay, I totally saw
right. So the Gemara said, oh, it can't be that, because then it would be Ribis Mal Yosso. And we know that Hanoas Milva is what? What did Rabbi? Is Aramas Ribis. So the Gemara said, you cannot interpret Hanoas Milva to mean Arba Chamisha, because then it would be Ribis Mal Yosso, and not Aramas Ribis. We're looking for a case of Hanoas Milva, which is also to do because of Haramas Ribis. That's the case that Abaye is talking about. And that's what we're looking to explain. If you try to explain with Arba B'Chamisha, that can't be it, because that, the Gemara says, is Ribis Mal Yosso. So the Ritva says, Perush, the explanation of this is, Lishna Ba'alma Komak Shalei. Hechi Karelei Haramas Ribis. What does that mean? Tell me what those words mean. What do you mean, Lishna Ba'alma Kamakshale?
It's asking about like the Lashon. Like it's a
what,
it's
what
a,
does the word Ba'alma mean here? How does that fit in? I don't know if you, what?
Alone.
Alone, no.
In general?
Or maybe alone could be a better word than alone. Merely.
Merely.
The word Ba'alma sometimes can mean the world, like Olam, clearly, but also very often the word Ba'alma would mean merely. So, Lishna Ba'alma Kamakshale. The Gemara is asking merely about the language of Hechi Karile Haramas Ribis. What's Hechi Karile Haramas Ribis? What's Hechi?
How?
How can it be called? How can you call this Haramas Ribis? It should be called instead what?
Ribis
Gemura. If the case is Arba B'Chamisha, then Ribis it should Gemura. Be called Ribis Gemura, Ribis Mal Yosso. What does he mean by saying it's merely the language? What do you mean merely? What, the idea of merely, like, you know, it's like it's almost like putting a damper on. It's only about the language. What does he mean by that? What is only about? Yeah, as opposed to what?
As opposed to the second objection in the Gemara, which was really about... This first question is only about what we're calling the case of our Baba Chamisha. It's not saying, oh, our Baba Chamisha is actually HaMekadesh B'Milveh, and therefore, you know, that doesn't work because we're looking for a case that's Mekudeshet, and our Baba Chamisha, if it's Mekadesh B'Milveh, would be Eina Mekudeshet. Like, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about what it's called.
So then... The fact that it should be if it's a case of Arba B'Chamisha, then it should not be called Haramas Ribis. It should have been called Ribis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this objection of the Gemara, it's only an objection about the terminology. You have to say, and McKenna, you're right, but you have to say a little bit more. the fact it's only the objection now is only about the fact that it's called Haramas Ribbis, but that would be wrong because it's really Ribbis Mal Yasa. But what is it not an objection? But the fact that it's Ribbis Mal Yasa is not a, the objection to the fact that it's real Ribbis is only about the terminology and not about what?
Oh, it's
not
validity as Kiddushin.
Yes.
Oh, he thinks that the woman would be Mekudeshin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's only about the language. When the Gemara said, "Ha ribis mal yasahu," the only of the Gemara's objection is the fact that we should call this real ribis. It should have said, "Aser masos kein bishum ribis gamor." You know, should have said, "Aser masos kein bishum haramas ribis." So, in this first objection, the Gemara is not saying that it should not be mekudeshes. She will be mekudeshes. It's just that what? He shouldn't have called it haramas ribis. He should have called it ribis katsutsa. Or ribis, right? Well, that's the second objection. So the second objection says it's a milva. Now let's see how he explains aval vadai. Mekana, could you just read
yeah.
this?
Aval vaday afilu beribit gemura im kvar par atolo vechazar vekidshabo mekudeshes. But certainly, even if it was ribit gemura, meaning even if you did have a case of 4 and 5, if she already paid back to him that fifth zuz,
yes.
and then he took that zuz and he was mekudeshet her with it,
he was mekadesh her with it,
then that would be mekudeshet. Why? Dema'ot deribita shepar am lo velemalve kananehu legamre umamon gamur hem lo. Because the money of the rebate that the love pays the malve acquires them completely, and they completely belong to him.
Yeah, because if she actually paid back the ribbis to him, if she had done that, and then he gave her back the fifth zuz that she had collected as the ribbis, and says, "I want to be mekadesh you with this fifth zuz," she would be mekudeshes to him. You could be a Makadesh woman with the ribbis that he just collected. If he collected the ribbis from her and then gave it back, she would be Makudeshes. See, that's the point that he's making. So she would be Makudeshes. So why couldn't we learn that the Gemara is talking about such a case?
Because it works.
I mean, it does. So why can't we say that that's what Hanoah is no understanding?
Because then it's not Asur La'asot Kemi Pnei Haramat
Ribis. Yeah, then it should have said Asur La'asot Kemi Shem Ribis. Not Mishem Haramat Ribis. Oh, Haramat is real Ribis. Yeah. If she would have paid him the fifth dinar and then give it back to her as Kedushin, for Kedushin, she would be Mekudeshes. But you're not allowed to do this because of what? Because there's a violation of ribbis here. You wouldn't say it's a violation. It's haram. It's not haram. It's ribbis. It's real ribbis. The point that he's getting at, that in the first objection, when the Gemara said it's ribbis, it's only an objection to the fact, to the language. It's merely a language. It's really a language issue. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because what he's saying is, because if she would have paid him back the money, and then he gave it back to her, she would be mekudeshes. But the Gemara is saying that even if that would have happened, it still, we could not, I don't know if you don't follow what I'm saying. If she, let's say the case of Arba B'Chamisha would have been that he said you have to pay me back 5, she paid him back the 5. And then he gave her back the 5th one as Kedusha. Could we learn that that's the case of Hanoah Nova? But that's, he was Makadishur with the ribbis money. We couldn't. Why not?
Because then it doesn't fit with the Lashon of the Gemara.
What
the fact that it says Asur Laso Kemi Pnei Haramat Ribit, it would say
Asur. Yeah, it should have said Asur Laso Kemi Shum Ribis.
I thought that was his whole question, though. Why doesn't...
He's not asking questions. You keep making that mistake. He's explaining the Gemara. The Gemara objected to Arba B'Chamisha. Why?
Because of Arba. Because of interprets the Gemara.
Which means, what? How does he interpret that first objection? He said, Harib is mal yasaru. So what's the objection? The objection is the following. Even if she would have paid him back the 15er, and then he gave it back to her for Kedushin, we could not learn that that's the case of Hanoas Milva. Why not? Because then it should have said, Asa lasos ke misham ribis katsutsa.
Right.
Not Asa lasos ke misham haramas ribis. Okay? And what's going to be the second objection? I see if you can understand. And what's going to be the second objection of the Gemara? Would it mean it's a milva? If what?
If you're going to say that the fifth zuta was the ribis, is the milva itself, then why would the ribis dinar technically be a valid kedushin when the four other zuzim wouldn't have been?
Who's cares about the other four?
No, it's kilu
she really
owes him. Meaning, it's like milva because milva is.
Look what he said. I know I'm jumping ahead because I just want you to see the flow of the Gemara. See where it says ba'od hainu milva.
Yeah.
Klomar. Kevan da'akate lo parate. What does that mean?
She did not pay
back the fifth. V'chovu etzlo. And it's an obligation to him. Harehu makadish b'milva. But he's trying to be makadish b'milva.
Oh, she's obligated to him. Okay.
See somebody. So can you tell me the two how he learns the two objections of the Gemara?
Objection number one is about the terminology.
But why is it only about the terminology?
Because
in the first objection, we would be assuming what?
That she has paid back.
That she did pay back the five. In the first objection, we're assuming that she did pay back the five. And then what did he do?
Gave it back.
He gave back the fifth one and said, Vimu Kodesh is to me. So then the Gemara is saying, that cannot be the case. Why?
Ribis mal yasa.
Because that's ribis mal yasa. So why would it, what? It shouldn't be called Haramas ribis. It should be called ribis mal yasa. The second objection, Va'od Hainu Milva, what's that objection?
She hasn't paid.
Since in reality she has not yet paid it back, assuming that she has not yet paid it back, then that fifth zuz is just money that is owed to him. So that the owing of the fifth zuz is no different than the owing of what?
The rest
of the principle of the four. And just as you can't be Makadish with the four by canceling that, you can't be Makadish with the fifth by canceling that. It's all the same because all of them are just money that is owed from her to him. He doesn't own any money that she has in her possession at the time. This is just debts that she has towards him. So if he's trying to be Makadish with the fifth one, it's the same thing as trying to be Makadish with the four. In other words, these are all debts. You can't be Makadish for Milva. Doesn't matter whether it's the debt of the principal of the loan or it's the debt of the interest of the loan. They're all equally debts. That's what he said at the very end. Da amai odiv zuzo de ribis mi zuzo de karen. You understand? You can see what that means now?
Does it mean it's good with the
why is the zuz of the ribis more significant
than the
zuzim of the principal? Karen is the principal of the law. It's called Karen. Okay? They're all debts. Okay, so let's now go back. But what he explains, though, which to me was so important, really more about ribis, our understanding of ribis, of course, then it has an impact on Kedushin as well, is that when a man lends money and charges interest, and then the interest is paid, what does he say about that money of the interest that is paid?
That it 100% belongs to the guy.
It belongs to the
mouth. Wire to give it back.
Exactly.
A certain
that
amount.
What?
Is that the Nitzvah's opinion, or is that the Halacha?
I really don't follow your question. That's his opinion.
Right, that's what I'm asking.
What, as opposed to what?
As opposed to the halacha is that...
Well, who decides what the halacha is?
Well, what do other people say differently?
And other rishonim. Well, did you go through the Meiri? So did he discuss it at all? Yes or no? Okay, so you're going to see.
He probably does discuss it.
We will see. We will see. Okay. Now, how does he go about, he says, he says very interesting things about the ribbis. Can somebody tell me what he says? So his point is that when the lova pays the interest, that interest payment does belong to the malva. It's just that the malva has a mitzvah, an obligation to pay it back. But the money that he collected for the interest does belong to the malva. And he says a couple of things. What does he say about that? Yes.
About the ribbis?
Yeah.
That once he pays back the ribbis, even though he now has to return the ribbis to her, because that basically will make him return it, he can still be mekadesh her with that ribbis dinar, and then he'll just be obligated.
Fine, because the money belongs to him. Besides that, what else does he say? Yeah.
He goes into this weird tangent, I think, about if the man dies.
Why is it a weird tangent?
That, okay.
Rachel
so
thought it was morbid
thing,
and that
well,
the son
is explaining why.
He says that if a man, if this person dies, his children are still required to pay back that debt.
If
they're only if it's like a very specific item, but if it's only money, then they're not required to pay back that debt.
Now, why does he tell us this weird?
Well, we went to the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and we really couldn't figure it out.
Would you understand what he wrote?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you understand why did he write it?
I mean, he writes that it's Kavod Avihan.
What? Why is he telling you this?
We didn't know. We kept on trying to make connections to confusion, and then it just got weird.
I told Rachel not to make connections to confusion because she was saying something
Lizzie,
about the
yes.
son returning
I mean,
something
wrong
to
about
the
this,
mom.
But I think,
what
I think
is
he
getting at? Why?
I think he's trying to prove that it really belongs to him, because if that coin wasn't the man, then even when he died, his children would still be obligated to give it back to the
exactly.
woman. But they're not, so it shows that the man really does have.
For example,
are all debts like canceled when a person dies?
No!
No, they're not. That's why he doesn't.
Can you imagine such a thing?
People would. Yeah. Never mind.
No.
People would.
Like, that's his estate.
I'm like, life insurance.
Think about this. You, let's say a person has a mortgage on his house.
Okay.
So he owes the bank $500,000.
And he dies.
And the guy dies. So that's it?
Free house for the kids.
$500,000? So the children now inherit the house.
And
they inherit
debt.
The house with the mortgage.
Wow. I guess I've just never
thought
that's
the best solution. If the parents and the kids don't get along, the kids will bump off the father. And then they won't have to pay back the $500,000. Can you imagine?
That's a weird case.
Yeah, that is weird.
So that's what I was thinking, but I didn't say it out loud.
Different
the point is that obligations don't just disappear because, let's say you have a mortgage on the house, the mortgage stays on the house. So whoever now inherits the house inherits the mortgage of the house. Debts don't disappear, but that's the point. But what about ribbis?
So it's not a real debt?
That's the point. It's not a real debt. It's just because the truth is the money that he collected truly belongs to him. But since I'm adding this in now, but since he committed this Avera, because he charged interest when he wasn't supposed to, so now the Torah places upon him an obligation to return.
Interesting.
But what does it mean? His
but
son?
Basically what? But
what
basically that
the
money
son?
Doesn't belong, didn't really, doesn't belong to the Lova.
They
it
just
belongs
lost
to
out.
The Malva. So therefore this he's obligation, though, is only on him, like as a mitzvah. But if he died, the children don't have that mitzvah.
So it's like when they talk about whether the mitzvah is on the gavra or the chef. Like here it's
Well, it's
so
only on the person.
Returning the money is related to the person,
it's
not
just
to the entity.
Related to the person, the one who charged the interest. So the children are not involved in that. Understand? So therefore, this is a proof. See, if the money truly did not belong to the mom, what would be if a man stole money and he died?
Then the family has to pay it back, right?
Do we say that the children don't have to pay it back? Of course they do. It's stolen money. Right? You don't say that the debt to pay back stolen money just disappears because the god has died.
So what's this thing about the davar mesuyam?
Yeah.
That's something else. So in the davar mesuyam, that means if you're talking about an object.
Okay.
In other words, the following. Let's say it's a car. Let's say the payment of the ribis was made with a car. So everybody sees this car. Right? And everybody knows that this car was collected as ribis. So the children, let's say the father died, the children, because of kavod avihem, will give back the car, because if they don't, everybody's beat, oh,
that's the car, so and so
reminded, this is the car of the father who charged interest to this poor fellow. So it'll bring shame on the father. So, because, but if it's just money worth it's not a davar mesuyam, then they don't have to give it back, because there's no public shame of the father in that situation. So they're not obligated to pay it back. But if it's a davar mesuyam, then mishum kvod avihem, they would have to give it back. What?
I just remembered the first class I ever took with you. We learned about this.
You did?
Yes. Wow. It was so long ago, and it just like. Flipped all of a sudden. I remember you saying this exact case with the car.
I gave the same example.
Yes.
Car?
Yes.
Whoa. Oh my goodness.
That's why I remember.
What class was it?
It was intermediate, and we were doing Ezehu Neshech, Perek Ezehu Neshech.
Wow.
Wow.
Triggered a memory, wound up. Okay.
So funny.
So this is what is it? Let's just finish the letter. Then he also says something else. V'lo'od el da'filu b'chazara lo mesakein lavei k'de mesakein lav de'gezel be'ishavon. Did you see all that?
Yeah.
Any idea what that's about?
Yeah, even if they do give back the money, they haven't fixed their father's problem.
No,
he's not talking about the children.
Anyone.
Even the father.
Yeah.
What is he saying?
So if you steal something, let's say, but then you return it, it's like you
erase,
like you absolved what you did.
You softened the severity of the law that you violated. In a case of gezel, what does the Torah say you have to do? The heshev is atzel asher gozel. You have to return it. By returning it, it's almost like you're softening, because you're undoing the act of gezeila by returning it. That's why you don't get malchus, because it's almost as a way of correcting your mistake by returning the gezel. So you're giving it back to the person as though you're undoing your bad deed to a certain extent. So you took away somebody's money, you're giving it back to them. But in ribis, you're not fixing at all, you're not undoing the bad deed. Because giving back the money is not undoing it, because the truth is, the money belongs to you. The bad deed was the fact that you charged the interest and collected it. Giving it back is not going to, once you collect, it's your money. So if it's your money, what are you giving back your money? So what is that going to do? Nothing. It doesn't fix at all. It doesn't undo in any way the law of not charging interest. That we try to show you that, because the money really is yours. It was very sharp.
Yeah.
Okay. So go over this. Make sure you can read it inside and know what all these.
What means soften here? Or you're just saying that from your knowledge?
Yeah. Misaken. Low misaken means
right,
to fix.
Fixing it.
You're not fixing it in what sense?
What?
Fixing it.
But you're not undoing it.
That's what I'm saying. So softening, undoing.
Okay.
Okay?